Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. We're doing it coast to coast, baby, like you read about in the Big Apple, New York City, along with your boy Carver High on a Misery Monday. Mafia running it with Luke, I am your father. Our rundown today, we got a double shot with Morenci from Vancouver. We got Bob Nightingale to talk about all the money that Soto just got. 15 years, 765. You got to be kidding me. And Matt Mershell talking about the college football playoff. It is set, Carver High, and SMU is in and Alabama is out. Isn't that beautiful?
What a shame. What a shame that they're out. And how about their dopey athletic director who ran around yesterday telling, "Well, I guess we can't play a really hard non-conference schedule anymore. You lost your three games in conference, you dope. You lost Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. You didn't lose to Oregon. You didn't lose to Virginia Tech. You know, you lost the teams in your conference. These people are so stupid. I'm fired up already today. You know why. So I'm already in a bad mood watching that Alabama athletic director try to sell people that he can't play it. Who they play in out of conference this year? Nassau Community College and Florida A&M? Who'd they play in their non-conference games?
Nobody.
Nonsense.
But Clemson was up 24-3, and then they fought back, and that's why they got in. That second half to tie that game, that was huge. That got them into the playoff, and then that bounced Alabama. It was impressive. They lost the game. I hit Clemson. It was a good cover. The only game I got wrong of the big ones was – Iowa State, they didn't show up. They got their ass kicked. I thought Arizona State looked fabulous, but all the other games went down. Oregon hit. Penn State couldn't beat a ranked team again that's better than them. And it was, again, Dylan Gabriel, a better quarterback than Aller. I thought Aller played well, but I think, you know, Gabriel played better.
Yeah, and what did you hear afterwards? Look, the story remains the same. People want to paint the picture that, well, you know, they were in the game, and they fought back, and they did this. They lost, and they didn't cover. That's it. Bottom line. They lost.
As usual.
Didn't cover. Done. All right? James Franklin, 0 for a billion against top five teams. James Franklin, 0 for the century against the spread against top five teams. That's it. That's what it all comes down to. But let me ask you this, and this is good. We'll be doing this all day and all the next couple weeks. How about they lose that game? And you can make a case that they have an easier path to get to the semifinals than almost anyone else. They get to play SMU in Happy Valley, Whiteout, the whole nonsense. And then they get to play Boise State right after that. We all love Boise State. Penn State's going to beat Boise State. You know it. We're sitting here. They'll beat Boise State because it's not Oregon. It's not Ohio State. It's not Georgia. It's not Penn State. Doesn't lose to Boise. They lose to all those other teams. How do they get such a nice road after losing that game on Saturday night?
Well, they got the coveted five that you wanted with Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets Indiana, and then Penn State gets the easy ride. So, and they'll beat, like you said, Boise. They're better. They don't beat great teams. They beat good teams. And anyone that's highly ranked, they can't beat. But they have the nice red carpet ride into the semis, I think.
The two teams that lost on Saturday got the best rides, Texas and Penn State. Texas gets to play Clemson at home. Then they get to play Arizona State in the bowl game, which maybe people are underestimating that Arizona State team a little bit, especially after what they did to Iowa State on Saturday. They destroyed them. But it's just funny to me that those two teams that lost ended up with the better draws in the college football playoff field. But we will have, for the next 2 weeks, a big buildup to a Friday night game in South Bend between the Hoosiers and the Fighting Irish. In-state rivals that never play each other ever, but are now going to play in the college football playoff on a night game in South Bend.
I can't believe that they're playing. And I'll tell you another thing. I thought that kid, Scaraboo, was unbelievable running the rock Saturday. That guy, you couldn't get him down. He just was breaking every tackle. Huge runs. He dominated the game. He was the MVP without a doubt. And they didn't have their star receiver. It didn't matter because he took over the game. That is a hell of a football team, no doubt. Do you think Indiana can give Notre Dame a game?
Yes, I do. I think they could give them a game because of how good their offense is. Now, the Notre Dame's got a great secondary. They got a good defense. I think that's the entire key to the game. Can the Notre Dame D slow down Indiana like Ohio State did, somewhat like Michigan did in that game? And if they do, the Irish will win. But if they let Indiana run up and down the field, I don't think the Irish are built for a game like that. I don't think they're going to play track meet with Indiana all night in South Bend. So I think it's going to be a fun game. And that's the Friday night game. The other three games will be Saturday the 21st with a triple header to go. So we have all the college football playoff talk today. And then also, Juan Soto is a Met. Scotty, Juan Soto.
You were right.
Juan Soto
took the money. He's a mercenary. He went for the highest bid, and Cohen did it. He beat the Yankees. I thought, you know, they fell short. Obviously, they lose him. He goes across town. It's crazy that he's going to be playing for the Mets. There's no doubt. It makes me sick to my stomach, but it is what it is. And you know, I'm disappointed. Hal gave it a shot. He was, you know, a little light. Cohen had the most money, and now Soto's going to be playing for them for the rest of his career, obviously.
Obviously so, and I kind of thought that last night as well. We kick Hal around a lot. If he offered $760 million, it's hard to say that he wasn't willing to pay Juan Soto. What it came down to at the end of the day was he wanted to play there. That's it. I mean, he got the highest dollar from there.
Why,
and he went
though?
To go and play there.
Why?
Well, you see, they're selling all these stories today about, well, they have a family. They're building a real family atmosphere over in Queens. And, you know, the Yankees threw Soto's chef out of the clubhouse, wouldn't let him in the clubhouse at the beginning of the season. That's all nonsense. The Mets offered one more dollar than anyone else, and that's why he's playing for the Mets. But one thing I will say about the Yankees, Scott, I know you agree with me. Last night made it official. The Yankee mystique, the Yankee lore, all of those things that people talk about, that people want to play for the Yankees, that's over and done with. It probably died when George died. It's over. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Seriously, that he could walk away from the Yankees. Now we're seeing it. A big name star walks away. You're right. It's changed. Now it's about money. It's not about, once you're a Yankee, you wear the pinstripes, you want to be in that uniform forever. You know, a lot of guys do want to do that. Like, I mean, when you think of Rizzo said it, he said, you put that uniform on, it's different than all the rest. But he walked right across town, and it's going to be interesting. Whenever there's a Subway Series, how the Yankee fans are going to treat him. Obviously, the Mets fans are ecstatic that they got him. It is what it is. And they lost Adames. He's gone to the Giants. So, you know, while they were waiting around to try to get the deal with Soto, they lost their plan B, which is another swing and a miss for the Yankees.
Another swing and a miss. So we will talk about all of that today. You know what I want Christian Walker. I'm sure. You see, what I don't want, you know what they're going to do now is they'll probably spend money stupidly now to make up for the fact that they didn't get Soto. Like, I don't know if Max Fried's a good American League East pitcher. I don't know, and I think they might throw a lot of money at him. I don't know if Corbin Burns will stay durable in the Bronx. They'll probably throw a lot of money at him. I want Christian Walker. You know that, so I'd like to see them go and get that guy. And we have all the NFL from Sunday as well. Steelers win again at the place
baby.
The Steelers play, and the Bills lose in L.A., a wild 44-42 game where the head coach once again made some decisions at the end that make me nervous when we get to January. Some of the things McDermott did at the end of that football game.
Can you even believe that Bills game? That was crazy. I mean, honestly, they came all the way back. They still lose by two. Meanwhile, the Steelers kicked ass and took names and rubbed out the Browns. It was beautiful.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 on all of our outlets. We get Morenci for a double shot on C2C every day. Thank God for that. What did you think of the crazy Bills game in L.A. against the Rams that they lost by two?
Well, like once a year, it seems, Scott, both the Rams and the Bills separately, and now they played each other, find themselves in one of these wild track meet type of football games. We've seen it with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs in the past. We've seen it with the Rams and the Chiefs. Super entertaining football game, Scott. Unfortunately, the Buffalo Bills were on the wrong side of it, but the Rams are dangerous, man, right? And, you know, there's no guarantee the Rams are going to get into the playoffs. They probably don't, actually, in the end. But if they do, they're one of those teams you don't want to play, right? Like, Nacua is unstoppable. I don't know where they find these dudes, like Cooper Kupp and Nacua. You can't stop them. Yeah, it really is unbelievable, Scott. Like, seriously, man. Like,
he was unreal.
You can't stop them. Like, you know, a kid comes into the league, no one knows who the hell he is. And it's not like everybody was like, oh, you got to draft this Nacua kid out of BYU. Nobody knew who he was, Scott. Right? And then boom, like he's a new Cooper Kupp. He's unstoppable. And say, man, Stafford's just timeless, isn't he? If you give Stafford time in the pocket, he'll kill you, Scott. Like he will. We saw that yesterday from firsthand experience. So listen, I have a lot of respect for the Rams. And as far as the Bills are concerned, and I was kind of thinking about it, Scott. I was like, are they really going to run the table from here on out? And I'm not saying it's a good thing they lost, but it's out of the system now. And they had this Ram game, and they got the Detroit Lion game. And I think it was a big ask to ask them to win both of them on the road in back-to-back weeks. I'd be a little bit more disappointed now if they don't beat the Detroit Lions, but what a game we have on Sunday against the Lions. After this, though, guys, the Bills play the Patriots twice and the Jets. And two of the games are in Buffalo. So after this Detroit game, they go back home, and basically they don't leave Buffalo again until potentially deep in the playoffs.
They'll win those. I mean, that was crazy. Both quarterbacks went off well over 300 yards. I mean, Allen threw three tutties, Stafford two.
Ran for three.
No picks. And this guy, Puka Shells, had 12 catches. He was all over the place, unstoppable, like you said. It was a wild game. I couldn't even believe they came back and got back into the game and then still lost it. Carver High was saying he didn't like the coaching decisions.
Well, it's going to happen, you know what I mean, in a game like this. There's going to be little decisions here and there. To be honest with you, I actually thought they would come back. Like, I was, you know what I mean? The problem was they ran out of racetrack. It was one of those deals.
Right.
It was like, yeah, did you lose or we run out of time type of thing. I actually thought, you know what? They're going to go down the field. They're going to score. But they had to do it quicker and just get the ball. They just didn't have enough time when it was all said and done. 44-42 game, but yeah, Josh Allen, the first player in NFL history, three touchdowns and three touchdowns. Unbelievable. But I always tell people this, Scott. Like, you know, I'm not a big stat guy. Like, people talk about stats, and you hear a lot of handicappers. Well, they out-yarded them and this and that. And I always tell people, show me a quarterback that threw for, like, 350, 400 yards, and I'll show you the losing team. In the modern NFL, it's just point blank. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the big numbers, yeah, it's all cute, but you lost. Right? You're better off winning boring than losing in a high-scoring game, but it is what it is.
So they're 10-3 now, and so are the Steelers. You talked about the other games that they're going to win at the end, but what do you think is going to happen now that they have the same record?
Well, you know what? That's the one thing that was unfortunate, right? That they would have had an opportunity to keep pace with the Kansas City Chiefs, at least, and the Chiefs could potentially stumble. Right. And they're playing your Pittsburgh Steelers on Christmas Day, which is a very good spot for Pittsburgh to beat them. It looks like now, Scott, it's all over but the crying, bro. You, me, or anyone else, we're going to have to go through Arrowhead to get to the Super Bowl. It just is what it is. They did it again last night. Like, you know what I mean? 1917. These, you know, are they a great team?
Games.
No, but they keep winning. And you know when they get in the playoffs, they're going to be even better, Scott. Like, We've seen this before from the Chiefs. If you guys think back, past years, a lot of people have written the Chiefs off in December before. Oh, they're not very good, this and that. Yeah, well, whatever. Talk to me in February. They're still the team to beat in the AFC and in the NFL.
I mean, honestly, every game, two-point games, one-score games, they always find a way. It's unbelievable. It makes me sick. And, I mean, the Chargers gave them a game, fall short, and everyone that plays them falls short. You can't beat them.
You can cover against them. That's the only like solace that I take out of this. You know what? Man. You bet against the Chiefs and you're going to win money. They don't blow anybody out, point blank. You know, you bet against the Chiefs when they're laying points. You're going to make money. It was a little scary last night. It was 13-0, but I was glad to get the cover at least with the Bolts last night because I took the Chargers plus the points.
And what did it close at? Was it 3 or 3.5?
It ended up closing at 4.5.
Four and a half.
Yeah, I was sitting at 4. And then it popped up to 4.5, like right before kickoff. Late push. I was surprised. Late push on KC. A lot of people were scared of the Chargers last night, Scott, because Ladd McConkey didn't play, and right. We know J.K. Dobbins is already out. But they don't have a lot of targets to throw to. To be honest with you, you know, their wide receivers aren't great. This is one thing they're going to have to work on in the draft. McConkey's a rookie, and he's already their best wide receiver. So people were a little bit weary of that. And look, they looked like they were smart in the first half, Scott, when it was 13-0 and the Chargers couldn't do anything. And I don't know what the hell happened in the second. They just marched down the field. But it's time and time again, man. People made Dennis Green, Scott, rest in peace, but we let them off the hook.
They'll still be a playoff team, though, don't you think? I mean, the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of, you know, I'm not going to say it's anticlimactic, but really. You know, we see these phrases, Scott, in the hunt, right? In a wild card. Well, you know, the Dolphins are in the hunt and the Colts are in the hunt. Look at everybody. Everybody's got 8 wins there, bro. So it's really just a matter of it's going to be the Ravens, the Broncos. It's just all about seeding right now. The Chargers are going to the playoffs. Harbaugh's done a hell of a job, man, with this team. All the injuries that they've had, and they don't really have a ton of talent, right, on the offensive side of the football. They smartly let Keenan Allen go. They let Mike Williams go. Harbaugh wants to rebuild this thing. McConkey's a stud. And now this year in a draft, I assume they'll get a couple of, you know, they'll get a new stud wide receiver to go along with Herbert and company. Chargers are going in the right direction, no doubt.
They got to play the Bucs, the Broncos at home, and then they go on the road for the Pats and the Raiders. That's what they have left.
Yeah, so those last two are winnable, but these next two are not that easy, are they? How about your Steelers and Eagles this week, man? Bills and Lions? Yeah. We got some big games, bro, this week.
I'm thinking about going to the link.
Whoa! Enemy territory.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Playoff games for college football now that you've seen them, and which is your favorite?
First things first, I'm not a fan of this college football playoff stuff. Man, call me a Grinch, call me old, whatever, old man yells at the clouds or whatever, but it was fine the way that it was. I had no problems with the 4. It was perfect. You had to be great to get in. You had to be great to get in. What the hell are we doing here, Scott, with these first-round buys for some of these teams just because they won their conference? That's stupid, too, right? You guys were talking about it earlier. The bracket is unbalanced. It's like, you know, it is what it is, and it's only going to get bigger as we go on. For the record, guys, they have a 2-year deal with this. So they have this year and next year with the 12-team playoff. They kind of knew that inevitably they're going to make it bigger, and they were already arguing about it. They're already arguing about it now. So, you know, it's this year and next year, and then after it'll be 16. And I assume after the next TV deal is up, it'll be 24, right? And we'll see how these playoff games go. It's going to be fun. I'm not saying it's not going to be fun. As far as my favorite game is concerned, I tell you, Scott, I think that Clemson-Texas game is a lot of fun, man. I mean, people are kind of sleeping on Clemson. You know, they're the ones with the 3 losses. They've got a chip on their shoulder. Nobody believes in them. You see that their offense is starting to move. You know, listen, they hit the wall in the second half, but they're starting to move the ball on offense a little bit. They've got playmakers on defense. Dabo is an elite coach. And quite frankly, I think the point spread's too high. You look at Texas's offense, and I respect Texas just because they lost to Georgia. Okay. I think Texas are really good, Scott, but double digits with that Texas offense, it only scores about 27 points a game. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of points to be laying against Clemson. I think they're very evenly matched teams, to be honest with you. And the Indiana-Notre Dame game is going to be a lot of fun, but we've got to obviously think about weather, Scott. What's the weather? You lived in Indiana before. What's the weather going to be like on a Friday night, December 20th, is at the night goes on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'll be cold. It'll be cold for sure, but Clemson did a hell of a job finding a way to win that game against SMU. They were up big. Then they came back, SMU tied it. They still found a way to win it. I don't think they can hang with Texas. I think they could beat an SMU. I don't think they can beat a Texas. Indiana, to me, it's about covering. I'm not sure they can beat the Irish at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. I think Notre Dame's defense is going to give Rourke problems. I think Notre Dame's probably a better team than Indiana. A lot of people don't think they should be in it. I think they should be in it. They won 11 games, so let's see what they're made of.
I think the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are the real deal, actually. And I remember coming on the Monday after they lost in Northern Illinois, and I said they will still make the playoffs. They'll still make the playoffs. Looking at the schedule that they have, they stumbled, but they've really gotten better as the year has gone on, this football team. They've got NFL talent, Notre Dame. You know what I mean? And at this time of the year, that matters. Right, they've got playmakers. Their defense is really good. Their secondary is really good. So they're going to match up well with Indiana here. We know Indiana are going to put points up on the board. This, like you said, I think Notre Dame wins. But if I had to, I would just almost take almost every underdog. Penn State are kind of perplexing in a way. I thought that was pretty impressive. I know Franklin gets criticized all the time for not winning the big one, but the Ducks are a damn good team. And Penn State showed a lot there, Scott. That was a very impressive performance from the Penn State Nittany Lions. But I think people are getting a little too excited here. We've seen, here's another weather game, though. You have a team coming from, a passing team coming from Texas into Pennsylvania. We'll have to keep our eye on the weather there. But I'm not ready to say that I want to lay 8.5 points with Penn State. And listen, the tennis, this is a fun one, actually. I would say, like, for me, Clemson, Texas, we're going to go with the Blue Bloods here, Scott. And Tennessee and Ohio State's a lot of fun. And let's be real. Ryan Day loses this game at home. He gets fired, Scott.
Probably.
He gets fired. Like, there's that much pressure on him.
Like, do you think he would have gotten fired anyway because he lost to Michigan again?
No. I think if he wins a national championship, they're not firing him. If he loses the first game on their home field, it's almost like a nightmare for him that it's actually at home. Like, it makes it worse. Like, you lose, like, oh, we lost in the Fiesta Bowl in the quarterfinal, like, to Tennessee. It's like, okay. No, we lost to Michigan on our home field as 20-point favorites, and we lost to Tennessee as 7.5-point favorites. He could be done, bro.
I'll tell you what. Oregon, to me, is still the best team. That quarterback
That's who I'm taking to win it all.
They won the game. They're dangerous. I think they can beat anyone that they play. Obviously, they're going to play the winner of that game, so imagine
they get
that
a tough bracket
after the Tennessee, Ohio State, and then they play the winner. Oregon is going to be an incredible game. How about Boise getting a bye as well? We'll see you tomorrow, Morenci. Enjoy the game tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got winter meetings underway now in Dallas for baseball. And obviously everybody's talking about Soto's deal, but all the bigs are hooking up in Big D.
They certainly are as it gets underway today for real. So now that, and with the Soto domino falling, you'll probably see a lot of deals over the next couple days. Let me just give you some more of the particulars here on Soto before I move on from it. 765 for 15. He gets a $75 million signing bonus.
Jesus.
And Heyman Roan here, a state tax advantage because he's a Florida resident. I guess that means he doesn't get taxed on the $75 million because he lives in Florida. I guess that's how all that works. He gets about $120 million overall pay in 2025. No deferred money in this deal. He can opt out after 5 years. He'd only be 30 years old. He gets a Citi Field suite for his family. That's an estimated value of $500,000 per year.
Gets a suite.
Needed that suite. Gets a suite as well. in the deal. So there you go. Lots of the particulars when it comes to Soto. Yankees did bid $760 for 16. Now there's another story that's been floated in the last hour or so that Hal did have a chance to go match. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares at this point? He's a man. I don't want to hear all the secondhand stuff, these right, all these people that want to carry water for the Yankees and for Hal and try to make it look like they were so close. But whatever. They didn't get him. They didn't get the job done. And that's that. So it's over with.
And he can leave in 5 years?
He can opt out in 5 years, yes. Now, would you opt out of a deal where you get, I guess, if you're only 30 years old, I guess, can you get another $700 million at 30 years old? I'm not too sure. Although, I'm sure 5 years ago, we didn't think someone would, or maybe we did think someone would get $765 million. So what do you think someone could get 5 years from now when they're still 30? So I guess it's possible that he could. You know, we saw A-Rod do
it. Someone's going to get Yankees. A billion. I think some player will get a billion. Bottom line is this. Yeah. If he's miserable in Queens, and if, you know, it doesn't go well, and they're booing him, and he hates it, he can leave in 5 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did. 15 years is crazy. I don't want to give anybody in any sport that many years. I think it's too much. I mean, the money's gargantuan. Good for him. He gets all that, a suite and everything else. And he can leave in five. He got all the cards.
He got all the cards. That was probably the deal breaker for Hal. He didn't want to give him the suite because that's money. Like, yeah, he gets money from the suite. I'm making a joke, obviously. Hal didn't want to give him a suite when it came down to it at the end of the day. The Mets were 12-1 for next year's World Series before signing Juan Soto. They moved all the way up to 7-1. After signing, they are the second choice on the board behind the Dodgers, who, of course, spend also like drunken sailors. So plus 340 for the Dodgers, plus 700 for the Mets. And look, this is, remember, it was a good run for the Mets to the NLCS last year. But they were, what did they finish in their division this year, Scotty? You know, they didn't win the division. They were a wild card team. You know, it's
they were good. They were a good team. Yeah. But now who can they sign is the question. When they give this guy all this money, how can they sign other people? You start wondering about who they're going to be able to sign. It sounds like Alonso will be gone.
I don't think so. I think this guy's going to – I think he's good for a lot more. I don't think they're done in any aspect. I think he'll bring Alonso back. I think he'll sign either Fried or Burns. I think he'll get the Tanner Scott, you know, go get him too. It's just, you got to remember, now, you see, the Met fans are going to, they're going to love this. They are now what they hated forever. The Mets are now what they hated. They despised the Yankees being able to do this for a very long time. This is now them. Uncle Stevie can just walk up the aisle like he's at the supermarket. I'll get a starting pitcher here, I'll get a closer here, I'll get a first baseman here, and he'll just keep throwing things in the cart because there is no limit. The guy's worth $7 or $8 billion or whatever. It's probably more than that. I'm probably selling him a little short. And there's no limit to what he can do. This is a drop in the bucket, $765 million for Juan Soto.
I think it's the first time they've ever really shown up the Yankees. This guy's finally done it. He's made them, you know, more important than the Yankees. They got the best player. You saw what he did for the Yankees. He took them to the World Series. He carried them on his back. Let's face it. In the playoffs, he was their best player. It wasn't Judge. It was Soto. And he was just clutch as hell. And now he's playing for the Mets. And the Mets are now the deal in town. And his buddy Judge is left out there in the outfield without him now. So I think they have to go sign pitchers. I think they have to go spend money now on other players. Like I said before, they lost Adames. So go get arms. Arms are what win playoff games. Arms are what gets you to the World Series. You get a couple of bats like they had last year with Judge and Soto. It gets you into the playoffs, gets you to the World Series. But Soto's the reason they got there. And then they blew it, obviously. Now he's gone. So they got to go get arms to make that team better. Because the bottom line was they were just outclassed by the Dodgers. Let's face it, they got their ass beat.
They got their ass beat, and they have got a lot of work to do now, now that they are not going to have Soto back in the Bronx. But it sounds like they have a lot of money that they can now spend. The question is, will they spend it wisely or will they spend it foolishly? We shall see what the Yankees do with all that money they now have to go through. So there'll be a lot of deals the next few days. There's been a couple as well here. We've been the San Francisco Giants have been trying to hand money to people for years now, right? I mean, they tried giving money to everybody. Willie Adames, they finally found somebody to say yes. Willie Adames, 7 years, $182 million for him as he goes out to San Francisco. Nice deal for Adames, who's really the only big guy who said, I'm not waiting around for Soto. Someone's offered me $180 million. I'll see you later. I'm out of here.
Honestly, do you think he's worth $182?
No.
I don't either.
No.
They just gave that guy so much money.
And remember this, too. I think he's a good player, but one thing about playing in that park, that is not a big offensive hitter's park out in San Francisco at Oracle. It's not. Those numbers are not going to look the same for him going out there. There's only one guy who put up enormous numbers at that place, and that's Barry Bonds. He's the only guy. I guess that, you know, that's just – nobody else really goes there and hits 40 homers, 35, 40 homers. It's, you know, that's just not what you do out at that place. So I don't
better,
think
though they got better with Chapman and with Adames. Yeah. Now they got a couple bats and a couple guys that can really on that left side of that infield that can, you know, win gold gloves. It's going to be hard to get the ball through there if you're playing the Giants. They got a nice defense now on that side of the field. And, you know, bottom line is they're in the same boat as the Yankees. They need more arms. Now you got a couple of bats. You got a couple of really good fielders. Now you got to go get the pitching to go with it.
Yes, they do. The Mets signed Clay Holmes as well, another Yankee that they took away. 3 years, $38 million. They're going to make him a starting pitcher. God bless and good luck with that one. I did see that the Dodgers just they did bring back Blake Treinen, who was a really good reliever for them in the playoffs and in the World Series against the Yankees. So 2 years, $22 million for him as well. So the Dodgers also continue. Endless jar of money that the Dodgers have as they continue to spend all of it. So if anything happens, you'll have Bob in a little while. Anything happens, of course, today over the course of the next couple days, we'll be on it here on C2C when it comes to the winter meetings. And Rob also Manfred also said that golden at bat nonsense is not coming anytime soon. So we can sleep at night again. They're not implementing the golden at bat anytime
soon. Was stupid.
I know you were worried about it. I was too. But it's not
stupid.
Happening anytime.
It's the dumbest thing I've heard. What are you going to do? Otani bat twice in a row. Judge bat twice in a row.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, the Steelers did it. They got revenge on the Browns after the snow game. They got them in Pittsburgh, and they owned them all day. 27-14, and Russ was doing his magic again. A couple of tutties, a pedestrian game for him. He didn't put up huge numbers, but, you know, no picks, got sacked once, and they dominated the game. It was easy work, and now they have 10 wins.
They do now have 10 wins. They go to 10-3 on the season, and as you mentioned, maybe not the biggest numbers for Russ, only had $158. Now, let's also remember he was missing his best target. Pickens didn't play, was, of course, a late scratch. They held him out. They wanted to be cautious with the hamstring injury that he picked up, which I think is a smart move because they were able to take care of business without him. 27-14. I figured we'd play this one because this went to the window for us. We had Freiermuth on Friday as one of our tutty picks, and sure enough, Russ finds him on a 20-yard strike here on CBS.
With a guy who's done that for his crew.
Second and 10. Down the middle.
He keeps going to this guy, right? Like, he likes throwing to him. The guy's become a huge part of the offense now. Should have been the last couple of years. Now he is, and he's scoring touchdowns, and he paid off for us, and he keeps coming up big, and Russ likes throwing to him, and it's smart. And the other guy, I like Washington, too. enormous guy, 300-pounder, will run right over you and smash you in the head. So I like all of their receivers, but no Pickens. They still get the win in, you know, dramatic, beautiful weather. Think about it. It was like 46 degrees yesterday. Perfect in Pittsburgh. You'd think it'd be a lot colder and miserable, but it was a beautiful day, and they got it done, and they had to. And now they're tied with the Bills. For me, that was huge.
That is huge. And they have a full two-game lead on the Ravens, which is really 2.5 because they beat them once already. So, you know, they're sitting there now 10-3, Ravens 8-5, and they do play them next week. Now, this is a tough stretch for the Steelers. At Philly, at Baltimore, home for the Chiefs, and then, of course, finishing with the Bengals at home. So, road, home, home, with three playoff opponents the next couple weeks. Steelers got to, I think, Scotty, 2 out of 3 if they do want to get that 2 spot with the Bills, because I think the Bills could lose again this week. That's going to be a very hard game for them in Detroit against the Lions.
Well, we'll find out what the Steelers are made of when they go to the Link. They're going to play a team that's, I think, one of the best in the NFL, and it'll show them who they really are. If they can play well against the Eagles or beat the Eagles, that would be crazy. I don't really like their chances at the Link. I think the Eagles are a notch above the Steelers. I think they're going to play the Lions in the NFC Championship, but it'll be a good test. And then Baltimore in the Charm City, and then having the Chiefs on Christmas Day is crazy. So those are enormous games for them, and we're going to find out how good they really are in this three-game stretch.
Of course, after a win, we always have to hear from Mike Tomlin on a Monday. Well, of course we do. Very proud of his team with the effort yesterday.
Appreciative of the efforts in game. It didn't start off the way we would like in terms of fluidity. We weren't converting third downs there early on, but the guys found their traction. I appreciate the defense providing some short fields and some splash in the effort to kind of get us going. It's a team game in that way. And then obviously the special teams with a splash play down the stretch to get us out of the stadium, man. That's what teams do. They make plays in all three phases. They uplift one another. When a certain component of it isn't rolling as smoothly as you'd like. Thankful for the win. It's AFC North football, and we'll take it and keep moving.
Let's go. Come on, let's go.
It's AFC North football, baby. And the Steelers move to 10-3. As you mentioned, they pull even in the AFC with the Bills, who fall to 10-3 after a loss in Los Angeles to the Rams. 44-42 was the final. How do you lose a game when your quarterback throws for 3 touchdowns and runs for 3 touchdowns? How do you lose a
game when that happens?
Now, the Bills were down 38-21 going into the fourth quarter of this game. They get it back to 38-35, needed to stop the Rams again and get the ball back. But this was the ice out. Just under 2 minutes to go, Stafford finding Puka shells on Fox.
They blitz. Stafford sees it. Nakua gets a block. He might go. Nakua scores. Touchdown, Rams.
Whoa. Can you believe this guy? Honestly.
Easy.
I mean, what didn't he do yesterday in that game? I mean, he just went off. And Stafford loves throwing to this guy. And he comes up big. It was unbelievable. I didn't think they could beat the Bills. I really didn't. And I got to tip my hat to them. I didn't see it coming. I lost that game. I went with the Bills.
12 catches for a 162 and a touchdown for Puka Shells. And he ran a touchdown in as well. Also had a rushing touchdown. So a two-tutty day for him. On the Bills side of things, I was very annoyed at some of the stuff that McDermott did, especially when they were going in with a minute left, and he still had all of his 3 timeouts. Figure you score, you could still get the ball back potentially. Calls a run play on 1st and goal from the 1 and then has to use a timeout. My problem with him is, though, he never takes accountability. Never says it was my fault. It's always somebody else's.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, Jay. You have 2 options, basically. Neither are great, right? So when you're in that situation, holding 3 timeouts, felt like with the ball, we were underneath kind of a time overall where we felt like, we could get the ball back with a legit chance to win the game with no timeouts.
No.
Having said that, we used what we thought was our best play all year, which is 1 yard quarterback sneak by Josh. Had to use a timeout. And so just felt like that was the best course of action for us right there. And neither of them are great choices, right, in that situation. So at the end of the day, we got to play better
overall.
What
do you mean neither of them? What is he talking about?
Stay out of those situations, quite frankly.
I've never seen a guy like Allen, though. You talked about it before. He throws three, runs for three, and they lose. You got to be kidding me. I mean, honestly.
It's like the 13-second game. Like, it's the loss is on the coach and the defense. You know, the defense gave up 44 points, something that they really hadn't done all year. You cannot lose a game when a quarterback puts up that kind of a game. You can't. You just can't lose that game. Awful.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm getting sick of watching the Chiefs win every single game, every single week, and then it's always 2 points or a one-score game. It is unbelievable. Do you think they're lucky or just too good for everybody?
I don't know. It's hard to say that they're lucky when they've won the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Like, it's hard for me to sit here and say that they win every week because of luck. But I saw I think the stat was today, if you flipped all of their one-score games this year the other direction, they'd be 2-11 or something like that. Like, they have played one-score games. Like, you would think just the law of averages and how the league works and how competitive the league is, you would think that they would have lost one or two of these games that they end up pulling out of the fire every single time. Chargers took a lead last night with just about 4.5 minutes to go, 17-16 after the Dicker field goal. The Chiefs drive the field. Drive the clock. I mean, the Chargers never saw the ball again. I mean, they don't even have Butker. They've got this Matthew Wright. They find this guy off the street, and man, of course, and he hits the upright, but because it's the Chiefs, what happens on Westwood One Sports?
You gotta be.
So Matthew Wright out of the hold of Matt Araiza. James Winchester to snap. A 31-yard attempt from the right hash for the win. Wright says he's ready. Here's the snap. Ball down. The kick is on the way. It is off the upright and good. Oh. And Kansas City wins.
You know what? In the playoffs, all this is going to come crashing down. They win all these games. They get all these breaks. They hitting uprights. Every game's 2 points, whatever. They always get the ball in overtime and everything else in the games that they play in overtime. They win every coin toss, everything else. In the playoffs, it's going to hit a wall. I think it's going to hit a wall. I keep telling you, Buffalo and Pittsburgh are going to beat them. One of them's going to beat them. They're going to run out of luck. Finally, someone else is going to have a lucky day against them and win by two or win by three and finish them off. I don't think they're winning three in a row. No one ever has. I don't think they will either. And I know how good they are. I'm not going to sit here and deny it. I know that they win and how tough they are, and they always find a way. I just want it to end. I know everyone in Kansas City loves it, but I'm sick and tired of it. I want someone else to finally get the better end of it. You know, let's see someone else hit the upright and it bounces through instead of them. I've never seen a team get so many like lucky breaks and close tight wins in one season. Honestly, look at their record. Every single week, it's the same thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, some of these games, it's just 19-17, 19-17, 16-14. Like, look at these games. Their offense is not that great. I mean, you watch them in these games, like, Kelsey's like not even out there. Like, he's not like completely checked out. Hopkins has been okay for them, but they're scoring like 20 points a game. Like, and that's it. Like, they just, I guess, credit their defense. Whatever. They finished with Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos. So, I mean, maybe they lose the Steeler game on Christmas Day and they'll finish, 15-2? How are they going to finish?
Who cares about that? I want to beat them in the playoffs. I don't care.
I do too.
Christmas Day, that's great and everything. But it doesn't, at the end of the day, matter except for possible seeding. I mean, it's important to win the game for Pittsburgh more than it is Kansas City. Kansas City's going to be the one no matter what.
No matter what. And that's what worries me, that we're both going to beat them in the regular season and then they'll beat us in the playoff. That's what's going to bother me if that goes and happens. I just cannot have it. The Chargers do lose, unfortunately for them, which falls them now to 8-5 with a bunch of other teams in the AFC. But here's Jim Harbaugh. The Chargers will be back. He's got a lot of quotes in him today. Here we go.
Reminded of Sir Andrew Barton. Fight on, my men, Sir Andrew said. I'm a little wounded but not slain. I'll lay down and bleed a while, and we'll rise and fight again.
Listen to him. He's crazy. What was that? I don't even know what that is.
He said it was Sir Andrew Barton. I gave you a quote from Sir Andrew Barton, and I will lay my sword down again. And I will be, I mean, geez, Jim's too much. He really is. They are now, like we said, 8-5, and they will finish. They actually have the Bucs coming to Los Angeles, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, now leading the NFC South. So very jumbled in the wild card pool of the AFC right now, as they had a chance to put themselves ahead of everybody.
Need to win a couple games. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're tough, but they're not as good as some of these other elite teams in the AFC. I'm sorry.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.